This is February 23rd, and the next meeting is on March 29th, 1992, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, then, my friends, good morning. And if you can't hear me, please let us know that. I'd like to dwell today on something that I hope will be helpful for a lot of you who are not so much finding your life painful, but more boring. There is a quotation that you hear often, that the great mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And that is true. However, what we have really come in these last 13 years is to try to convince you of something a little different, which is, it is totally possible for mankind to live a life of quiet inspiration. Now, inspiration is something that you can find in your life without having to wait for someone, God or something, to bestow it upon you. The idea has grown. This is a new idea, say, the last 300 or 400 years. That's a new idea. The old idea, it was very much understood that inspiration was something that came directly from two things, two elements of awareness. One was yourself, your equipment, meaning your mind, your body, your intention, your desire, your focus, your excitement, all of that. But at the same time, it was also understood that there was this amazing other that has changed its name down through the centuries. But it was always known that to be inspired meant to in some way align yourself with something that was other than you. Something that was other than you and at the same time was you. You see, when we start talking about separation, then we're talking about lies. But just to talk about it, we have to, for this particular day, if you could get the sense that there is a vast energy field that has been inspiring human consciousness from the very first moment that human consciousness became focused in a physical body. And the rules are very simple. The rule is a simple matter of alignment. But before you can align yourself with something, you have to believe that there is something to align with. And the difficulty with most human consciousness is you have forgotten your basic training exercises that you have had in your physical awareness, in your mental being, in your emotional consciousness. Nothing is new about inspiration. All I am here to do, and please, this is quite an exciting job, is to try to inspire you to become inspired. Now, one of the hopes from our work, from the very first year that we met, which is 13, 14, I don't know, whatever your earth numbers are, long time ago, we said that we would be successful if on the last day we gave a meeting and no one came. And that is because the excitement of all of our work together, all of these amazing wonders together, has been to move you, sometimes gently and sometimes abruptly, to that point of alignment where you and inspiration are in alignment, so that there is no need to say, where is it, and wait for something outside yourself. The reason that we are ceasing this particular experiment in a few years is because you no longer need inspiration outside. And as you watch many, many, many of the truly fine teachers alive on this earth plane, many of them are going to cease work in the way that they're doing it and begin working in another way because, you know, every good parent says, I don't want to forever be teaching my children. What a bore. Wouldn't that be boring? And so is it for everyone to try to get everyone so that they are inspiring themselves, teaching themselves, and in turn, teaching whoever is the next in line in whatever way or form. So, what we want to outline for you as best we can today is a diagram of inspiration and how to reach it. And it's very simple. Now, last time we met, we talked about something that fits in here, which is there are two ways of looking at creation. There are two ways of looking at finding things. Let us say that you decide today that you want to find the thing that's going to inspire you. All right? Now, you will probably have in your mind an idea that says, now, whatever this thing is, it is already existing, and I have to find it. I have to go and I have to find it. And so, where are you going to look? Well, you look at other people and you run it by them and they say, oh, no, dear, you can't do that. Oh, no, I don't think there's not much. But, well, go ahead and try, but you know. So, and that ends. End of inspiration. All right? And the other one is you can go around praying and praying for inspiration. Inspire me. No belief at all that anybody's listening, but just please inspire me something, somewhere, sometime. All right. Now, there is another way that we touched on last month that I want to tie in here, which is, remember that we spoke that in the scientific realm, when they are beginning to deal with subatomic particles, that they have found an interesting thing, that a scientist decides that he or she wants to find something, and lo and behold, it begins to appear. And the idea now is not somehow that it's there and you go and find it, but they are finding a tremendous correlation between the intensity of the person wanting to find it and the appearing of whatever it is into the subatomic particle world. Now, if the scientific community is beginning to believe this, we are moving into very exciting times indeed. Now, let us apply this same law to what we have just said to you. You stand in your life with a desire to be inspired. Now, if you knew what would inspire you, doesn't it make sense you would be doing it? If you knew, the one thing that would inspire me is to become a travel agent and travel around the world, well, would you then not do everything you possibly could to become a travel agent and travel around the world, whatever it is? The reason you're not inspired is you have no deep knowing inside of you of what is going to inspire you. Now, I want to go out on a limb here and say that one of the problems here is that so many of you are looking for old forms of inspiration. You are looking for things in the past, things that you have done in the past, things that others have done, old ways. Now, some of you are living what other people would think are really exciting lives. For example, Mary Margaret said to a friend of hers last week, which the person ended up laughing very uproariously, "My life is very ordinary," says Mary Margaret. Well, people look at her life and say, this is an ordinary life. Well, of course it's an ordinary life from Mary Margaret's point of view. This is something she does every, other week. It is her life. She does this. She travels. So it's very ordinary for her. It is not something out of the ordinary anymore. Of course, the first few years, not only was it unordinary, but terrifying at the same time, and so on. But the idea here is, the inspiration of Mary Margaret, if I can speak of it this moment, when it happened to her, was nothing that she anticipated. Had she would have run screaming from the planet in one form or another, and this was not her idea at all. So we are talking about not you with your conscious mind that says, oh, I need to do this. Oh, I know, I need to be a dynamic creative artist. That's where you always go. Inspiration has to be, you have to be a ballet dancer, or whatever. I'm trying to make a little jest here. But when we talk about inspiration, rarely do you talk about being inspired in the ordinary things of life. So we have this consciousness that has to make a choice. And the choice I ask you to make today is, are you all willing, or even those of you that are bored, just worried with the bored ones, are you really willing to begin to acknowledge that you don't have the foggiest notion of what's going to inspire you, and to get down, metaphorically, on your knees and start looking for it, to be alive to the reason? Look, this is a new world. Things are changing. And with the onslaught of the new wonder, things are beginning to be like this. Have you noticed the last few weeks? People are in motion, and things are happening. Now, instead of being fearful, those of you who have had such things to yourself or other, let's just keep calm and steady, because through all of it is something wonderful. Whatever is present is absolutely magnificent, dynamic, alive, and useful. Where's Mr. Cope? Where's Mr. Arnold? All right. Amba. All right. Now, all I'm saying is, whatever these moments of stress, the excitement is, this is a new experience. Something exciting and new is presented here. Now, when you want to be inspired, you have to become humble. Inspiration rarely... Go to your great artists. You know, they may, in the end of their lives, have had some degree of arrogance, but very rarely, in the early days of an artist's inspiration, was their arrogance. In fact, they were so aware of their limitations that they were absolutely receptive. They were so aware of their inability. They were so aware of the lack. And so they placed themselves before this whole creative process as a child would to a dynamic, powerful, wise one, and say, I need your help. I need you to fill me. I am ready. And this is where humility is the best way in. To assume that you know nothing about what is going to be your next explosion. To not say, oh, I know I need a new relationship, or I need a new job, or I need... All right, well, without being too rude, you know, relationships end up being relationships. And jobs, well, I'm sorry, but they do, you know. Eventually, you run out of steam, and, you know, you just have relationships. And that's fine. But also, you know, jobs have a tendency to become ordinary. I don't say they have to be displeasing, but even the most exalted... job usually ends up feeling quite ordinary when you've done it again and again. So here I want you to understand that we are not saying to you, go and examine everything and in the already created try to find the something. I'm saying the total difference. I'm saying the amazing power of the God self or the divine or spirit or all that is or source, I don't care, whatever word, that is the power. That is the power that moves and makes things happen. And just that degree of daily inner humility, and at the same time, I am not talking about the humility of a worm. Remember, I've told you all this, God has enough worms. What God wants is dynamic, creative, powerful, exciting humans. All of you. You wouldn't listen to this kind of wind if you didn't have a lot of real inner understanding and power. And here you are. And when you realize that what the divine or the spirit really wants is to ignite into the beautiful, powerful parts of consciousness, which is those of you who are struggling to overcome whatever misunderstandings you have about consciousness, awareness, and so on. So you stand in that wonderful pivot position, full of your power, but humble at the same time. I'd like to speak a minute about that, because I think there's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding about what humility is. And if you think that humility is putting your shoulders down and groveling and saying, yes, dear, you are not humble. You are not humble. You are playing a game of humility, but there is no essence of humility in it. So what can we say is a good statement about humility? And you are not probably going to even believe this or enjoy it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Humility is standing straight and firm and clear and thanking God for creating you with full, total potentiality. Full and total potentiality. What is one translation of what God is? Total potentiality. Now, so total potentiality is it isn't really a substance, but let's just use that word. It is an energy vortex. It is a substance of some motion moving constantly, dynamically, and powerfully through all things. Through all things with the same amount of power, the same amount of opportunity. You don't have to be in any particular position to be able to bring this dynamic power divinely into you. But you have to be walking around your life expecting it to come, expecting the incredible force of that to burst in on you. But I repeat again. You have to do it from a point of strength. You have to know that you are... You see, if you are a worm, do you know what I mean by a worm? One of those things that crawls on the ground and lets other people step on it and doesn't even say, you know, don't do it. You know, it just moves. It doesn't stand with any kind of sense of being. And that is not the kind of person that gets inspired. Have you noticed? You know, they're just not like that. The inspired ones, I'm talking about all of you, when you are inspired, is it when you're down and out, or is it when you're up and strong and alive and looking? When you look, another way of talking about it, you stand in the perpendicular. You're standing in the world of the created, and at the same moment that you stand in the created, you're standing in the uncreated, in the createdness, less, nothing, in the nothingness, in the void, whatever word you want to use. So you're standing in two realities at the same time. You're standing in two absolutely exciting points of consciousness at the same time, and you have access to both at the same time wherever you're standing. You do not have to become an angel and fly up. You just have to be a human and stand with a sense of your own power and dignity right here in this world. You say to me, I don't have that. And I'm telling you that I don't believe you. I am telling you that you can find out whether you are telling the truth or not. And how do you do it? All right, you make sure there's nobody at home, because this would look rather strange if anyone else was, and you begin walking up and down your living room as a strong, empowered being. If you don't have the facility to walk, you move in whatever way you do through your room with the inside awareness. This is not an external thing. It has nothing to do with your feet, your legs, your limbs, how well they stand up. It has to do with a quality inside. And when you begin to ask yourself, can I move from my definition of myself as incapable of such strength to a position that says I am totally capable of such strength, and begin to act as if, in your words, you will begin to not ever doubt that there is a feeling that enters you as you move around, and what happens is you begin to feel like that. Now, my friends, you know, if you're paying attention to your own life, that you are running mantras of negativity all day long. You just run one after the other, after the other, after the other, about yourself, about everybody else. Have you ever kept a little notebook on the things that you think every day? Oh my, what an experience, what an experience. To just be able, for one day, to take seriously the kinds of thoughts that you harbor about yourself and about other, you will just give one look at it and realize, well, this absolutely explains why I am where I am. Because there it all is. I'm saying it to myself over and over. Most of it, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. And when you're saying that, what are you waiting for? Something outside of yourself to pop into your life and say, well, I'll stop boring you. Whether it's whatever it is. My friends, have you noticed it doesn't last very long? Because it's an inside quality. And when you begin to walk around your life straight and strong and receptive, with the knowing that all of this wonderful energy comes together, that you have the manifest and the unmanifest totally available at the same time, you begin to feel a strength starting running through your body. It becomes something like an electrical current. And as you just begin to walk around, it's as if you're some kind of a post of power that seems to connect what you could call the upper and the lower, but those are just words, the inner and the outer, whatever. But you are a point of motion where things come together. The human body is the most exciting thing, because it has the capacity, because of its electronic and its electromagnetic fusion, to be able to live and move in the world, and at the same time, that electromagnetic force field is able to take in and be a conduit for this other power that's constantly moving around you. Now, let us repeat. We have told you this before, just a repeat. Within your physical body are how many? Say 3 trillion cells. And in each of those trillion cells, there is a magnetic power that is constantly pulsating. All of those trillions of cells together form a particular kind of a pattern that is you. That is you. And it is very different from the one that's next to you and the other one that's next to you. It is you. And I said again, say again, if you could see that on a field, somehow on a screen, you would know of all the billions, without question, that's me. You would know, and it is an aliveness. And this is an aliveness that has nothing to do with how well you walk or see or talk or move. It has to do with how can you say all are created equal when you look at the differences in how people are created. Well, the way that you can is to just begin to hear and try to believe that embedded in each one, you know, you all have the same amount of cells, more or less. You know, I mean, there are a few differences. If you came in without a leg, you have a few less, but basically, given all the components of the body, you have the same amount of cells. All right. Now, what you don't know is, if you came in without a leg or an arm or whatever, that electromagnetic force field is still there. Now, you can't see it, and you can't prove it. But you know it. In some way, the perfection, you were created perfect. You were created with perfectly magnificent force fields, and they stand there and continue no matter what happens to your physical body as you go through life. The patterning is always there. The patterning is the same the first day you come, and it's there the last day. I don't care what has happened to your body in between, that electronic, that magnetic patterning is absolutely the same. And it has a sound and a feeling and emotion to it. Now, when we talk about inspiration, we're talking about those 3 trillion points of light, because they have the ability to take from this wonderful source of whatever, the undescribable, the unnameable, the unseeable. It takes from all of that, and they are able to take what is needed out of that and to charge the whole system with this amazing wonder. In other words, that system is always ready and moving and alive and pulsating. Now, you know, and they're finding this out scientifically, a strange thing happens with physical bodies. You go off and on. And they're finding this on their various screens, that the bodies flicker. They flicker off and on. They go on and they go off and they go on and they go off. Now, what are we talking about? You know, are there, what, fireflies in there? I mean, what is it? What is it that flickers on and off? What is this system? Well, this is what I'm talking about. And as soon as they get the excitement of finding out that not only do your bodies flicker on and off, but they flicker on and off with beautiful patterns, they will be able to understand a tremendous amount about how you can heal yourself, how you can inspire yourself, how you can be enlightened with full God awareness, how you can make your darkest parts of your awareness light up with light. Because the minute that you begin to truly believe that you have running through your physical body this incredible system of light that is constantly charging and exploding into all the cells, when you really begin to feel that and know that, things begin to shift. Now, so what is the way? My friends, you spend 99, here we go again, you're so bored, no, you'll be so glad when we finish because we keep saying these things over and over. All right, 99% of your physical body is space. 1% is form. And you are paying attention and giving all of your life and your substance and your awareness and your concerns to the 1%. Now, the 99% has to do with this electromagnetic wonder radiating awareness that is ever present. Now, how do you inspire yourself? All right, number one, you begin to ask yourself, do I want to be inspired? You know, God is not going to come down and say, sweetheart, you know, you're so bored, my darling. Would you like to be inspired? You know, have you noticed? Rarely does God act that way, you know? It's very rare. So what you, in fact, you know, you don't do it to each other. So, you know, So the first question I ask you as you leave today, as you go through the rest of your day and your night tonight, to really ask yourself, do I truly want to be inspired? Because it's a tremendous act of humility, because so many of you are saying, I have to do it. I have to find the way. You know, it's a lot of struggle. Remember Ramana Maharshi? He says, look, you're going to go from, what, Calcutta to Delhi? On the train, he says, well, and you take your luggage, you have 2 choices. You can put it down on the floor or you can put it on your head. Either way, you'll both get there. You go with your luggage on your head, or you go with it on the floor. Either way, you and your luggage are both going to get to your destination. And I tell you, today, you have ceased believing that there is another power that is strong enough to really make that happen. So the first excitement is the humility of, I can't do it myself. I don't know how to begin. I don't know where to look. I'm just here. And in that act of humility, it begins to open the doors. It begins to open the doors. Now, I've talked to you over and over again about all of these wonderful other levels of awareness that are constantly waiting to come in and to fill you with whatever you need. The areas of awareness that are constantly energized and waiting to move into your life stream, into your consciousness, and to help you in any way that's possible. You are not trained to believe in these energy sources. One of the great differences in the next so-called New Age is that children are going to be trained this way. They're going to be trained to look for, expect, and know how to live with and expand these energy fields. And I say, well done. That is going to be a major shift in human awareness. When the children are trained to know that they are in not just some kind of a God that they have to somehow... You see, the current idea of God is very difficult for children, most of them, because the idea of God is God does not love you if you're not good. Well, my friends, how good have you all been? You know, on the whole, how good have you all been? Have you never told a lie? Never done something you shouldn't? Never been deceptive? What are we saying? So these little ones, I'm not speaking against any organized religion, please. I'm just saying, if you talk to children, you'll find that those rules are difficult. It makes them crazy in their minds because they can't fulfill it. And the end statement is, God will not love me if I don't. So that idea and whatever happens in all the beautiful truths of organized religion, they are moving away, a lot of them, from the extraneous and getting stronger and stronger in the kernel of consciousness that lies deeply within every single real faith. And as they shore away the sides and just stay with the constancy of the inner, what they're going to come up with for all of the children is a much more exciting model of God. Now, you don't have to die. Everybody's saying, oh, good, it's too late now. Well, no. Oh, now what am I going to do? You know, thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom, and here I am. No, it's not like that, because all that you need is what the child is going to hear, which is what you've already heard, and I will say again, which is, this incredible 3 trillion electromagnetic, amazing, wonderful pattern residing inside of your physical body doesn't have any idea if you are doing the right thing or the wrong thing. It has no measure. Does an electric light bulb really know if it's, you know, in a brothel or in a church? Does it have any sense of lighting up less because it's one place or another? It does what it does, which is lights up. That's its job. That is this wondrous excitement to light up the world. Now, this wonderful system is on the same frequency. It has its knowing that its job is to take from the wonderful source of substance outside and pull in and take in and explode into all of the cellular structure so that it affects the mental, the physical, the emotional, all of that, the astral, all of that. And it doesn't have any judgment. This is the non-judgmental part of God. This is how they can say God has no favorites. There is no less light in this sense, in the sense of the electromagnetic power, than there is in anyone at all. Now, I will also tell you that there is a tremendous amount of difference in how a person experiences themselves. And this is where some people experience themselves without light, and therefore you experience them without light. Let me repeat. If you believe that you are without light, or that you have lived a life that is so negative or whatever, that you don't have light within you, then what you have done and continue to do is to go out throughout your life and your world, and other people will believe what you tell them. You walk around with the statement inside that you're, you know, you're worthless, you have no light, you have no power, you have no wisdom, you have no love, and you look around and your whole world will be saying, you're right. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. But you have to ask yourself, where does it start? Does it start in your magnetic attraction, or does it start out there? Well, that's up to you. Decide either way you want. But the closer to truth you come, the more you know that you radiate out the frequencies that other people are constantly picking up. Constantly picking up. You know immediately when you go into a room who is available for a date and who isn't. You just know. And nobody said a thing. They're just sitting there. And you know, you know so many things. You know, it's incredible the number of things that you know about each other. And you think that you have to be psychic to do this. Oh, my friends. You have to be dead not to be able to do it. So let's back to the theme. This incredible, inspiring, this is the point where inspiration explodes, is this constant taking from the unknown. From the unknown. Inspiration doesn't come from the known, it comes from the unknown. No matter how your life is, it can, whatever, if you adore your job, you still need inspiration. And how do you go about it? All right, first, asking if it's something you want. Second, really beginning to move around moment after moment after moment, moving around each moment of your life, paying attention not to your thoughts, not to your emotions, but paying attention, please, to the feeling that is in the body. To begin to feel the body, because you can begin to feel softly and gently as you just put your awareness on your physical body with this intention of feeling this action that's constantly moving. You begin to feel it. You see, life is motion. And the motion of life is just what we're talking about. This magnificent, constantly moving and exploding throughout your whole body, which then pulls to you all of the things that you need. So as you begin to realize that you begin by looking for it in your body, please don't look for inspiration in your thoughts. I know that's a tremendous surprise, but it doesn't work that way. Inspiration is something that is you plus God, or whatever you want to call it, plus the divine, and in that coming together, in the physical body, something explodes, and then your mind thinks something. But the mind does not think first. Inspiration comes upon you. Example. Many of you will just be puzzling and puzzling and puzzling what to do, and no answer. Oh, all right, forget it. I've done with it. You get up, you go outside, you go for a run on the beach, you collapse on a rock, and oh, all right. Oh, I have it. Now, the idea in your mind that you have to struggle for inspiration is one of the tremendous limits for inspiring you. I've said before, your greatest deterrent for being God realized is your belief that you are not already God realized. The greatest deterrent for this whole process is an ongoing belief that you have to struggle for it, that you have to somehow work for it. It has to be something difficult. And my dearest ones, I want you please to stop thinking about it and just, if I could use the vernacular, begin to hang around with yourself, inside of yourself, with every expectation of feeling it and beginning to hear it and see it and speak it. But it begins first with an action in the body. Something simply enters and ignites the whole system, and you go off like a rocket. And that is what life was meant to be. Now, the thing that keeps this kind of thing from going on and on and on, you know, the little ones, if you watch them, you know, they're all, you know, what is so inspiring at looking at, you know, your hand? But watch a young one, hours and hours and hours. Well, what do you think they're doing? You can't see it because you've forgotten. But what they're really doing is looking at patterns that their eyes can still see. You know, all of these lists that say children can see this when they're 3.5 weeks old and so on. I ask you to not pay too much attention because those little ones are seeing so much. I mean, how else could they lay there hour after hour after hour after hour? You know, something is going on here, something. So the excitement of knowing as you look at them that they are seeing something you can't see any longer. Could see? Yes. Loved to see, wanted to see, was excited about seeing? Yes. But the knowing that the vision has not solidified, that the vision was expansive and alive and very, very multi-dimensional. And then as the body and everything gets stronger and stronger and the earth field, those things tend to shut themselves off, mainly because they're trained to do so. But nevertheless, please, to realize that as you move through the life, that this life is constantly there, and when you begin just to move around wanting to feel it and expect it, it begins to take, and this is an important point, it takes your awareness away from the externals and begins to pull it deeply into this formation of electromagnetic power. Let me say it again. That was very wordy. When you put your awareness, your clear, pure awareness upon this magnificent motion within your body, what you do is you blend awareness with this system within and they merge. And whatever you concentrate on, you begin to experience. I repeat. Whatever you concentrate upon, you begin to experience. So when you begin to concentrate on this magnificent feeling as a hope, you begin to, as you touch it with your awareness, it begins to pulsate. It becomes stronger. It becomes more excitable. It becomes more available to you. It becomes something incredibly radiant. And your awareness put upon it is what brings the alchemy that begins to bring the awareness to you. This magnificent system was designed to keep you in total and complete alignment with the source of consciousness, with the God Self, with the light of the world, with all that is. Use whatever words you want. This system was placed there so that you would never leave home. It was placed there with the absolute purpose to keep you in that reality so that you never had to be lost. However lost you have felt or feel now, you are not lost. And this system, this magnetic wonder that constantly pulsates, is your absolute knowing that you cannot be lost. And no matter what state one is in, this is ever present. Mary Margaret received a letter from someone who asked us to touch on the subject of how one who comes into the world and has a very difficult mental and emotional wiring system and has deep thoughts of suicide and then commits the suicide, what is the reasoning for all of this? What is the patterning? Now, you'll probably all get up and walk out, at least all of the Orthodox people in the room will. But I want to come in on this on various levels, because you cannot answer this kind of question on one level. On one level, I say, don't commit suicide, you'd be stupid. I don't know if it's sinful or not. That's up for you to decide. You know, you can, you know, fight it out with your archangel when you're on the other side. On this side, I tell you, it's foolish. Now, what happens about those who have to do it just because the threshold of the pain, whether it be mental or physical, is too great? Now, when that threshold is reached, when that motion is made, what really happens is that the awareness of the person, when it hits that threshold, is no longer connected to the physical world in the same way. The incredible desire to get out of here is so strong that whatever you concentrate on begins to build. And so as they begin to concentrate on my only way out is suicide, they do, as you know, the law works in all way, in all directions, up and down. So the law is, as you begin to concentrate the awareness on that level, it increases the level, it increases the level. So what do we say in the practical term is a possible solution? When you become aware that that is a pattern in you, for the best, go to get the very best help on lessening the thought formation that clusters around that choice. Did you hear? Just get the best help possible. Now, in the event that it happens, what you have to understand is on the highest level, and I know this is hard to hear, there is no judgment. There is no judgment. This electromagnetic field has no judgment. And when the mind and the emotion and the body reach a certain point, and this is the only door, then the thrust is thus. Now, the way you feel about this inside of you is your own answer to the question, if one should do it or one should not. There will come to all of you an increasing question on this, because as you know, it's coming into the foreground of people who are choosing to die with dignity rather than to go through the decaying of the physical body. You better start thinking about it, because in the next 5 years, if things move as they seem to be going, this will be a very important issue for all of you. And it's an issue that you're going to have to decide from the deepest part of you. Many of you come from such a strong structure that says you shouldn't do it, that I really recommend you don't do it. If your structure is so strong that you feel that in some way this is going to be an act against God or against nature or against whatever, then I please ask you to pay attention. You must follow your inner road and be willing to take the consequences of whatever road you take. But as these years begin to approach on you, the next 5 years, much more information is going to be given to you. Please don't have to make up your mind today, because in the next ensuing years, much, much more information is going to come to you about this entire process. Because I want to say again, the consciousness of someone in that stage, at the end of their life, or in the middle of their life, I'm not talking about someone in an unconscious act through desperation, but one who consciously chooses to take that pathway out. A tremendous learning experience goes on before that choice is made. It isn't that you wake up one day and say, oh, fine, I'm happy to be alive, and tomorrow you say, well, I've had it. It's not like that. You see, it's a wonderful, exciting expansion. And those of you who are going to go through physical difficulties in the next few weeks or months, pay attention to what your thoughts are, your feelings are. Begin to know how much you want to live. Find out what life means to you. Become aware. Become alive. And as you begin to move this way in your own awareness, you are going to have to take the responsibility of when you're going to die. And that is the one thing that most of you in this room would really rather not do. You would rather have something other make the decision. As the years go by, you and this incredible power of consciousness are going to come together, and you are going to make incredibly creative decisions. And one of the most creative decisions is going to be how to live in the midst of all of the physical decreasing activity, if that is what's happening, and still keep the level of inspiration high. You do not have to have a finely honed body to be inspired. You can be inspired if you are a paraplegic. You can be inspired if you are anything between that and a jogger. You can be inspired anytime, because the focus and the power and the ability and the mechanism of inspiration is in place and never leaves. So you can, if you just begin to desire it, you can begin to inspire yourself. Now, I am strong on this one because it is my hope that some of you will learn how to inspire yourselves, to be open to it, and in so doing, learn how to move into the world and teach others to inspire themselves. All right? Now, the basic rule, let's say it again. You begin by deciding. Then you begin by paying very excited attention to the motion within the body. And then you begin to walk around your life with a sense of a humming power and energy that is moving inside of you, and you just wait. You know, the problem is most of you are quite impatient. You know, I want to be inspired and I want to do it now, you know, and I can't wait. And if it doesn't work within 24 hours, then that Bartholomew is a windbag and doesn't know anything. All right. But you know, you're overcoming years and years and lifetimes of doubt. And you have to realize inspiration is one of the strongest, most magnetically attractive energy fields in all of consciousness. And what it wants to do is to inspire you to the new. You don't really need a new car. You need a new awareness in driving your car. You don't really need a new body. You need a new awareness while you live and move in your body. You do not need new emotions, but you need a new awareness as you become aware of your emotions. That new awareness is God inspiration. And if you want it, you can have it. And your belief that you can is going to bring it to you. And you are going to find, as a world creation, that you're going to find ways to bring peace to this planet. You're going to find ways to have health in physical bodies. You're going to have ways where the emotions are exciting, expansive, creative, and dynamic. And you're going to have mental patterns that are exciting, expansive, and filled with brother and sisterhood. Those are the patterns that are waiting to manifest in the physical world. You don't have to destroy this world and start again. You don't have to stop this body and create another. You have to become alive to the thing that has never died. What part of you is the eternal? What part of you is the eternal? This is what we say. This incredible power that explodes within the trillions of cells, that is your patterning. And it goes with you life after death, after life after death. And when you immerse your awareness in the all, and there's no longer any differentiation, then your patterning simply becomes one with the patterning of the God. You no longer feel yourself pulsating as separate. So at the last moment, when you just begin to pay attention and ask and call and walk around and pay attention, stay awake inside. Stay awake. You know, again and again I say, you ask and you ask, you pray and you pray, God's just getting ready to answer, okay, and then you say, well, thank you, and you're up and gone. You know, and God hasn't had a chance to say, wait, I had something to say. You know, it's the waiting. It's the wonderful excitement of waiting for yourself to become inspired. Now, some of you need totally new lives because the ones that you're living bore you. Well, you don't know, your mind can't guide you, but your inspiration can. So, please, realizing that as you, many of you say, look, I don't care about inspiration. I don't care if my life is boring. I want God. You know, I've never known anyone who found God and said, God is boring. The one thing they say is, it was worth it all. It was worth anything. It was worth anything. And how do you get closer? Get yourself inspired in your life. Get yourself inspired in your life so that you are running around running a mantra of inspiration and dynamic creativity. And then one moment you will not know the difference between you and the God that is pulsating through your incredible system. And that's when it's finished. That's when there's no you and there's no God. There's no out, there's no in. There's no up, there's no down. There are no rules, there are no rules. There's no hierarchy. There is just this one dynamic, eternally pulsating, magnificent something. and you can get there by inspiration. Those funny saints sitting around those hot deserts and in those cold mountains are filled with inspiration. And nothing's happening. They're just sitting, or they're walking, or they're doing what they need to do. And as they sit there, and as they move, they begin to feel something. And as they begin to feel something, things begin to change. So, I thank you for coming. Those of you who want will have 10 minutes of inspiration. Thank you.